The Art of Fruitful Follow-Up is the ministry session we're about to hear from Brother Jerry Furso. Brother Jerry Furso oversees the soul winning and outreach departments at Lancaster Baptist Church. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
John chapter number 15, and let's look at verse number 16. John 15 and verse number 16, where the Bible says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." You know, this is an amazing verse. I think probably as I look at this room right here, we're probably pretty active in the area of going out and sharing the gospel and even seeing people saved. You know, we probably do a decent job at that, and I'm sure all of us could probably say we could do better in that area. And so as I look at you, I'm thinking, okay, I wonder if there were where I was at maybe 20 years ago, where I was able to see people saved and just personal door-to-door soul winning. But then that second part of that verse, that I might have fruit that would remain. You know, I saw people saved. And I saw people, you know, even come to church and get followed the Lord in baptism. But then as I took a step back and look and say, I wonder where those people are at right now. And so we're going to look at how we can have, you know, a more fruitful follow-up, and so that we would have people that remain. And I tell you what, that's what's so exciting about seeing God work in people's lives. So let's kind of jump into this. We're going to look at several different keys. I pray that be a help to us in the area of just having a fruitful follow-up. First of all, let's look at our action. First of all, as we ponder this thought about our own personal action regarding reaching people, we need to be soul conscious. You heard Pastor say earlier today in his session about being soul conscious. Be willing to share the gospel at any time, at any place, and with any person. That is so important that we have that concept, that we have that in our heart, that no matter where we're at, that we're willing and ready to share the gospel. We need to be soul conscious. You know, Jesus said in John chapter number 4 and verse number 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white, all ready to the harvest." You know, as we think about just being soul conscious, that means at any time, at any place, and with any person, I can share the gospel with them. And we need to realize that as we even venture off on maybe at what I would call just a non-soul winning time, to realize that God might have a divine appointment set up for me to meet and talk to somebody about their eternity. And as a witness, as a soul winner, we need to realize that God is not just restricted to Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, or Saturday. You know, for maybe some of you, your soul winning time is Thursday and Saturday. You know, people can get saved on Monday. Not too many. They're recovering from the weekend. But you know what I'm saying? God's not just, you know, confined to that little box, to your scheduled soul winning time as a church. Listen, we need to realize that even as you leave this property and maybe go to Starbucks for a cup of coffee, that God might allow you to cross someone's path for the very purpose of you sharing the gospel with them. And we need to look at those opportunities as something that we didn't arrange, but as something that God ordained, and that God has set the table for us, if you allow me to say it that way, that we would intersect our lives together, and that God placed me there for the purpose of sharing the gospel. And so we need to be soul conscious. We need to be really understanding that God wants to use me and God wants to use you to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. But not only do we need to be soul conscious, but we need to be spirit-led. I love that story in Acts chapter number 8 and how Philip, man, I tell you what, I put myself in Philip's shoes so many times. And I really wonder how I would respond to that, you know, that still small voice with him to go to the backside of the desert. I mean, think about it. There he was and experiencing a revival take place in Samaria. I mean, people were getting saved and people were being healed. And there was that small voice that told him, I want you to go to the backside of the desert. You know, I wonder how many of us are, Lord, you need me here. You know, Lord, look what's taking place. But Philip was sensitive to that prompting, and he allowed the Spirit of God to direct him. If you read that portion of Scripture, the Holy Spirit even directed him to the very chariot where the eunuch was and where he was reading from the book of Isaiah, wondering and trying to really comprehend the gospel message. And we need to realize that as you ponder that, I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit is still capable of doing that in our lives. That we know that the Spirit of God is working in people's lives throughout our valley. And the Holy Spirit's working in people's lives throughout your valley, your community. And if we would just allow the Spirit of God to lead us and to direct us, that we would just be His instrument that He uses to voice out the gospel. Man, I believe with all my heart, we'd see more people saved. But so many times we have our personal agenda that, you know, we have to go here or go there and accomplish that, that we have that tunnel vision that we don't realize that God wants to use us. We're His messengers. And we have the greatest message to share. And so it's so important that we become, you know, having that sense of soul consciousness and that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and direct in our hearts and our lives. I pray that you would obey those impulses. Obey those promptings. They're not by accident. If God's Spirit impresses upon you to give someone a track, realize this. Listen, that person may not get saved right then and there. But what you're doing, you're planting a seed. Now, the harvest may not be until, you may not even see the harvest until heaven, amen? But listen, you're still being obedient, you're being sensitive, and you're not quenching the Holy Spirit in your life, but you're obeying it. Let's be honest, it is certainly not the devil encouraging you to do that. But how many of you would confess, my hand goes up, when I sense the Spirit of God impressing upon my heart to give this person a track, I'm thinking, Lord, they're not interested. Right here? Right at this moment? You know, look at them. They're busy as a family. But you want to know something? We need to be obedient. And we need to just maybe discern. Maybe all I ought to do is just give an invite, give a track, and give an invitation to come visit. You never know how God may open that door up for you to begin to really go into a deeper conversation with that person about their eternity. So we need to be Spirit-led. But not only that, but number three there, we need to be steadfast. We need to be steadfast. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I believe we give up on people too quickly in the area of soul winning and reaching out. I remember reading years ago that for an adult to understand and comprehend the gospel, it takes four to five clear presentations of the gospel before they could even get saved. Now, I read that. Now, do I believe that? No, I don't. I believe I could share the gospel with somebody today, and they could hear it for the very first time, and they can get saved. I believe that with all my heart. But I understand the thought there, though, that it may not always be that first time that you witness to them that they get saved. That you might need to go back and 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 go back to that home numerous times until they come to the point where they are receptive to the gospel, where they make that decision for Christ. All I'm saying is, listen, let's not give up on people. Let's be steadfast in our witness. I think of so many illustrations that come into my mind about people that God has allowed me just to reach out to with the gospel. And I think of recently, just 2 weeks ago, I led a man to the Lord that came, first of all, because of his kids, came on our bus route. And then he came to a musical, and I met him at the musical, and he was you could tell he was a visitor. I mean, it was written all over his face. It might have been the tattoos I saw. It might have been the piercings I saw, but I just realized he was a visitor. And so I began to talk to him, and we kind of just connected. Not that our past were the same, nothing like that. But we just kind of hit it off. And so I started talking to him. I said, "Hey, Robert, I'd love to come by and visit you sometime." And I said, "Can I get your address?" And he said, "Sure." He gave me his address and lived in an apartment over in East Palmdale. And got all the information down. And man, I was excited about that. The next Tuesday, I was with my wife on soul winning, and she was my partner. We went to this apartment complex, and Brother Slater, an officer, it's one of those rougher areas in Palmdale. And my wife says, "Boy, this is a little scary here." I said, "Oh, we'll be okay, honey." And so we went there, we knocked on the door, and "Honey, don't worry, I'll protect you," you know. And so knocked on the door, and no one answered the door, and knocked again, no one answered. And so I figured, well, you know, the neighbors are home. I'll knock on the door, talk to the people over there, and they just moved in. I said, "Hey, have you met your neighbors yet?" I said, "They came to our church, and, you know, kind of went around that way." And said, "No, we haven't met them yet. We've seen them a couple times." And so, you know, I said, "Okay." And so I witnessed to this couple, but, you know, the timing wasn't right. They didn't want to listen. And so I said, "Okay, love for you to come visit sometime." And so from there, I went to that apartment probably no less than 30 times. 30 times went there, never saw anybody home, never talked to anybody. And then finally, this last Christmas, Easter, just a few, probably about 2 months ago, or 3 months ago now, Easter time, I'm walking down one of the aisles just shaking hands with people, and I saw this guy. And I looked at him, and I said, "Man, you look familiar." I said, "I know you, don't you?" And the first words out of his mouth was this: "You never visited me." And I said, "Robert." He said, "Yes." And I said, "I've went to your house 30 times. He said, "No, you didn't." I said, "Oh, yes, I did." And I explained the apartment complex. I was at the wrong apartment complex. Yeah. And so I started talking to him. And I said, "Listen, right after this service, I want to talk to you." So I shared the gospel with him. He just wasn't ready to get saved and went to his home a couple times and witnessed to him. Didn't want to get saved. But 2 weeks ago, though, sat down with him again. I said, "Robert, I believe with all my heart that it's time for you to get saved." And he looked at me and he said, "Why'd you say that?" I said, "God just placed on my heart." And he said, "You know what?" He says, "I'm ready." And Robert got saved and accepted Christ as his Savior. But you want to know something? Listen, that didn't take place the first visit. That's why we just need to be steadfast. Where we don't give up on people, that we keep on reaching out to them. So our action, we need to be so conscious, we need to be spirit-filled, we need to be steadfast in our action. Number two, let's think about this, our attitude. Our attitude regarding follow-up. Let's have an attitude of participation. Let's participate in the process of reaching out and to touch people with the gospel of Christ. You know, the Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Go ye. That, you know what that is? That's you and me. That's something that we ought to just participate in sharing the gospel of Christ. We need to have the attitude of just, you know, I want to be a part of reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to, you know, I may not have the gift of the gab. I may not feel real comfortable in doing it. And I'm sure probably if we took a survey, probably none of us feel real comfortable about it. I don't feel real comfortable about it. Now, I'd rather be nice and quiet and not even talk to people. I mean, we feel comfortable in that area. But listen, we need to come out of ourselves. We need to realize it's not about you and me. It's about the lost souls and people that are going to spend eternity in hell if we don't take the message of Christ to them. And so we need to have the attitude of participation. Man, I need to be a part of this. Number two, we need to have the attitude of expectation. And I believe this with all my heart. We need to have the attitude that, hey, I'm going to see something take place tonight. You know, if you go up there, if you go out so many thinking nothing's going to happen, you want to know something? You're probably right. Nothing's going to happen. Because you're not going to be looking for those opportunities. You won't see the opportunities and you won't seize the opportunities because you're already defeated in your own spirit. You think, well, nothing's going to happen. Nothing happened last week. Nothing happened for last month. And so you're already defeated. We need to have hearts of faith, believing, but if I just get out there, if I just start talking to people, God is going to bless that. And so as you think about that, you encourage yourself just about the idea that God is going to bless, even just the right, having the right heart and having the right faith, believing that God's going to use my efforts as I reach out to people with the gospel. A couple of thoughts regarding this. Believe, very simple, believe that the Lord is going to use you. Just believe that. Trust in it. Have faith in that. Just believe it. Hey, listen, number two, not only just believe it, then carry tracts with you. Now, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, okay? But I wonder right now, how many of you have a tract on you? Don't raise your hand. No. But I wonder how many of you do. The whole idea is being soul conscious. The whole idea is saying, you know what, I'm going to believe that God's going to use me. Paul said this, I am ready to preach the gospel. Hey, listen, just a very basic thing, just one part of being ready is carrying the gospel tracts with you. Now, you may not always be able to carry your Bible with you, but you can always have a gospel tract with you. And that's the whole idea, just believing that. Listen, I'm going to believe that God has somebody for me today to talk to. So I want to be ready for that. It may be when I'm just running out on an errand for pastor. And I might just, my life might intersect with someone else's life. And it might be at that very moment that God wants me to be ready. And that's all part of it. Just being ready. Carry gospel tracts with you. That's a part of saying, Lord, okay, you're going to use me. Okay, I need to be ready for that. I need to have my gospel tracts with me. Number two, assume, I love this, assume that every person you talk to is lost. Just assume that. How many of you sometimes you kind of look at people and say, that looks like a Christian? How many of you do that? You kind of measure people up, all right? Listen, don't do that. Assume that they're all lost. And may I say that, assume that they will all listen. It's amazing how we look and say, they're not interested. And you never even talked to them. You never even said hi to them yet. But you already convinced yourself that as you even just look at them, it might be because it's a beautiful house they live in. Or maybe because as you approach the house, you see all the toys in the driveway. And right away you think, you know what? There's no way that these people are interested. They have too much stuff going on in their life. They got the motorcycles, they got the boats, and they got the Sea-Doos, and they got this and that, and boy, they got everything that this world has to offer. But you want to know something? On the inside, they're screaming out and saying, what is life all about? But we're already convincing ourselves before we knock on the door or ring the doorbell that they're not even interested. Man, the whole idea is, I'm not talking about having, you know, just positive thought here. I'm just saying having faith in God, believing that, hey, everybody needs the gospel. And so as you do that, man, it's amazing how you kind of just break through your own personal barriers. It will open your eyes to realize, man, there's tons of people. They're sitting there waiting for someone to knock on their door. I remember, I think it was Brother Lester and I, we went out soul winning just right over here on the east side of Lancaster. It was on a Friday. We only had about 30 minutes because we had to get back for a staff meeting. I said, hey, let's go out and hit some doors together real quick. I said, you'll start at one end of the street, I'll start at the other, and we'll just kind of work towards each other, and we'll just kind of hit these doors real quick and head back for staff meeting. Well, I'm just thinking, you know, we only have probably about 15 doors there. We only had 30 minutes, so came up to the first door. I heard some music going on and some, you know, commotion inside the house. I knew somebody was home. You know, it was just a dead giveaway. It was during the afternoon, so I knocked on the door. You know, good solid knock like that, friendly knock. No one answered. So I knocked again, a little bit louder. No one answered. So I rang the doorbell a few times. No one came to the door. And it was always, you know, I don't think this was spirit-led. Okay, I think it was more fleshly-led. It was almost like, I'm going to knock on this door until someone answers the door. Okay? So I pounded on the door. And then I heard the footsteps coming. And the door swung open, and this guy was just looking at me. And right away, I said, hi, my name's Rick Houck from Lancaster Baptist Church. No, I didn't do that. And And I said, "Hi, I'm from Jerry from Lancaster Baptist Church." And he says, "No." I said, "Yes." He said, "No." And I said, "Yes." He said, "You wouldn't believe it. Come on in." And so I walked in, and we go back, and he's got this big screen TV, and he's sitting down there, and he said, "I was sitting here." He said, "You wouldn't believe it." He said, "This was Friday." He said, "Last Sunday, I went to church for the first time in years." He said, "I sat there in church, and they were talking about different things, and I was confused. I was didn't understand what they were saying. And it's been bothering me all week. And I just prayed a prayer. I said, Lord, if you're really out there, you help me to find you." He said, "I was sitting there going through the TV stations trying to find a religious station. And all of a sudden, somebody was knocking on my door. And I said, Lord, I'm trying to find something, and you got somebody knocking on my door. Send them away." You want to know something? About 30 minutes later, he bowed his head and accepted Christ as his Savior. Amen. Listen, we need to realize that as we go out, that we need to assume that people listen to us. And number five is this: assume that they'll get saved. I'm just trusting in God. You know what we are? We don't win them. You know, we're not the soul winners. You know, it's not me trying to manipulate a situation. It's not me trying to get them to do something against their own will. You want to get saved? You know, you want to pray this prayer? You know, listen. I'm not the soul winner. The Holy Spirit of God is. And I'm there for one reason: to share the truth. I'm his voice. And you're his voice. I pray that we would allow our vessels to be used to share the truth of the gospel. And so as we look at not only our actions, we look at our attitude. Not only do we should have an attitude of participation, an attitude of expectation, but number three, we need to have an attitude of celebration. Now listen, this is what I want, three quick thoughts. Let's celebrate with an obedient heart. In other words, we need to realize that God says go. And when we go, guess what? We're being obedient. How many parents do we have in here? How many parents are so excited? Your heart, you kind of celebrate in your heart when your kids obey you. Isn't that exciting? How many husbands are excited when your wives obey you? Mine never does, so I don't really celebrate too much. But it's exciting when you see your kids obey you. I mean, it's like, wow, look at that. You want to know something? He's our Heavenly Father. And what we need to focus on, listen, may I say this, not the results. Let's focus on obedience. You know what we ought to do? Leave the results up to God. God's called us, here it is, to sow the seed. God's called us to water the seed. Hey, and God said he'll bring forth the increase. So if I'm busy sowing and watering, guess what's going to happen? Man, we're going to have a harvest. Let's focus on what we do, what's in our control, and let's leave the results up to God. And listen, for our church family, we don't chat, "Well, let's go out there. I want you to see, you ladies, I want you to see 5 people saved today. I want you to see 10 people saved today. I want to see 15 people saved." No. You know what we say? Let's be faithful in going out. Listen, they may go out and they may not see anybody saved, but guess what? They can come back rejoicing because they're obedient. You know, sometimes we put so much pressure on our people to see people saved. That's why they get discouraged and they stop going out soul winning. And so it's so important. Let's keep our own hearts encouraged. Let's be, "Lord, I went out today. And Lord, I did my very best. And Lord, I pray now that you bless what I did. And Lord, you bring in people that maybe I didn't even meet, but I left a track on their door." So we can celebrate with an obedient heart. Celebrate because God desires to use you. Simple statement. But let that kind of sink into your heart. God desires to use you. God wants to use you. And I know that I think all of us say, me? But you don't know me. You know what? We're all fallen creatures. And we're all saved by the grace of God. And may I say this, God wants to use all of us. Number three, celebrate because the awesome privilege of touching one's life. And I tell you what, it's exciting to see people saved. I think that God allows us to have a small part in that. So as we look at not only our actions, but we need to make sure we have the right attitude. But number three, let's look at our approach. What's our approach? Okay, let me give you a couple of thoughts here regarding this. Number one, to be fruitful, we must be filled. I think we heard about that last night, didn't we? Yes. Not by might nor by power, but by?
Spirit.
By what?
Spirit.
By His Spirit. By His Spirit. We must be filled. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. A couple of thoughts. Filled so that we do not miss divine appointments. We talked a little bit about that already. Filled so that we would speak with boldness. Now, when I say boldness, I'm not talking about being overbearing, argumentative. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that boldness where you're not intimidated. You're not cowering down from interacting with somebody, a perfect stranger. Just be willing to put self aside. Be willing to put maybe their perspective or how they view you. Don't worry about that. Don't let the fear of man be a snare to you. But have a heart of faith. Say, Lord, I'm doing this by faith. I'm scared to death, but Lord, I'm going to do this. I remember I was in Stater Brothers, and there was a guy in front of me and had real long hair, just a big, looked like a big motorcycle guy. He just had a Raiders t-shirt on that was a little holy, just old looking, big old beard. And so I kind of walked up to him, and I said, I was behind him, and I said, man, I can't believe you're a Raiders fan. I thought, a good way just to kind of start a conversation. He turned around with me, and he didn't laugh. He didn't smile. He just growled. Rawr. I said, oh, no, I'm just teasing with you. I said, I'm from Chicago. I'm a Bears fan.
Yeah.
And then he just turned around. Didn't say a word to me. So I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, you must not have heard what I said. No, I didn't do that. Hey, listen, I'm not stupid, okay? I said, he must not be one of the chosen ones. No, I didn't say that. I'm talking about this. You know, our speech needs to be seasoned with grace. Listen, my position may offend you, but my disposition should never offend you. You know, where I stand, and because I believe that Christ is the only way, if that offends you, I'm sorry. But if I'm mean and ugly and have a wrong spirit and if that offends you, I have a wrong heart. So we need to make sure, I'm not talking about that type of boldness. I'm talking about where you're willing to engage and talk to people. And I pray that you'd be willing just to put self aside and just interact with people. Number three, filled so that we'd have a heart for all people. Is there certain people that you wouldn't witness to? Is there people that you see walking down the street that you would just avoid because their outer shell? We need to be Spirit-filled so that we talk to everybody. It's only by the grace of God that's not us. First slide, you know who I'm going to mention here. There's a guy, we knocked on his door. He opened up this door. And honestly, I was shocked, to be honest with you, by what I saw. I saw probably about 3 inches in diameter across his neck, a curse word, that statement that just blew me away. I was so shocked that I looked, and then you know how it is, you don't want to look. And then you think, no way. And then I looked again. And I told him who I was and where I was from, and he invited me in. And this little girl came by and sat next to him. She was 6 years old. And while we were talking, I'm thinking, this little girl is growing up. She may not be able to read yet, but when she sees her daddy, she's always going to see that. And then I started talking to him, and then I kind of got beyond that and began just to talk to him about the Lord, and began to tell me he was in prison and he was in drugs and gangs. Then he made the statement. He said, he's a pastor. He said, I've sinned too much. He said, God wouldn't love somebody like me. He said, honestly, he said, I don't even love myself. I'm not proud of the things I've done and who I am. And I began just to share scriptures with him and help him understand that God does love him. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. And that man prayed and accepted Christ as his Savior. Mercedes, you probably remember when he came to class. It was so neat when he got baptized. It was during summertime. It gets a little hot out here. That day when he came to church, he wore a turtleneck. I remember him getting in the baptistry. He got baptized. Just identifying with the Lord. I wonder, you know, how many people would see a man like that and just think in their own mind, he's not interested. May we have a love in our heart for every single person, filled so that we'd have God's power upon our life. Our approach, we need to be fruitful so that we must be filled. To be fruitful, we must have good follow through. We must have good follow-through. How many like golf? Any golfers in here? All right. One of the keys to having a good golf swing is having a good what? Follow-through. You just don't stop when you hit the ball. That's one of my problems. I have multiple problems, but that's one of them. But you need to have good follow-through. Let me give you a couple ideas. Ten thoughts, okay? You ready? Number one, getting and giving important information. In other words, when you're reaching out to people, you want to get and you want to give some important information. You want to get their name, you want to give them your name. You want to give them your number, you want to get their number. You want to write down their address, get their email? You want to get this information. You know, if you're willing to write down your cell number and give it to him, that's going to motivate him to give you his number. Hey, let me give you my number if you have any needs. Give me a call anytime. Hey, by the way, what's your number? And as you do that, you're able to stay in contact with the people that are prospective people to come into your church. Number two is this. Ask them if they would be able to come to church this Sunday. You might say this. This is what you want to maybe put outside of that little statement right there. You're asking for a commitment. Now, you don't ask for a commitment at every single door. Hopefully, you all realize this, that, you know, at some doors, the best thing for you to do is just give them a track and give them an invitation to come. That might be the best thing to do at that door. The next step to that is you kind of build a little rapport with them. There's a sense you kind of have that little connection there. Maybe it might be with sports. It might be because of the car they have or a motorcycle or whatever. But there's a little bit of a connection there. If you allow me to say, there's a friendship there. There's an establishment of a relationship. Okay? And so you're connecting on some kind of a level there. Then you kind of give an invite, yes, but you ask for a commitment. Hey, we'd love for you to come visit. And you might say, Nate, not only love for you to visit, but can you come this Sunday? So you're asking for a commitment. Now he has to make a decision. Now, you want to be watching. You want to be discerning. Are you kind of pushing him in the corner? Is he sensing that you're being overbearing? Then back up a little bit. And that's when you just will kind of just say, man, we'd love for you and your family to come by. That's all you have to say. But you don't want to become just a professional inviter. And you just don't want to just be out there just always just asking people for commitment. Then the third level is this. You want to witness to them. And so one of the keys to soul winning, here it is. You want to know one of the keys is? Here it is. Write this down. Timing. Is the timing right? Sometimes you may knock on a door and the guy's running out the door. Probably that's not the best timing. Maybe the best thing you could do is just, hey, love for you to come visit. Here's a brochure from Lancaster Baptist. You have to have discernment. You have to be discerning the moment. And realize this, every door is a different opportunity. So try to resist of falling into what I call just robotic actions. Hi, my name is Jerry from Lancaster Baptist Church. We'd love for you to come visit. Here's a brochure. We're located on 40th East and Lancaster Boulevard. Let me ask you a question before I leave. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Listen, don't think that let God open doors. Now let's be willing to walk through those doors. Let's look for those doors. Let's have hearts of faith that every door is going to be an open door. But I believe this all in my heart. God is the one that opens doors. But let's be willing, though, to ask for a commitment. Number three, communicate to them that you would like to stop by again to bring some information about the church. A lot of times during the daytime when I'm out soul winning, I'm going to be talking mostly to ladies. Because ladies are home. And so this is what I do. Okay? I knock on a door and I find a lady there seems to be some interest there. And so my response, okay, is she just being nice because I'm a nice guy? Or is there interest there? So this is what I do. I would love to come by and meet your husband. Would Saturday be a good time? Because right away I'm discerning by her answer if she's really interested in visiting or learning more about the church, or she just being a nice lady to a nice guy that's being kind to her. You see what I'm saying? And so we want to be careful that we're having sense of discernment. And so we ask some questions as we knock on the doors to help us to know, okay, is this somebody I want to go back to? Okay? And so you want to discern exactly where this person's at and maybe what's going on in that home. And so I always say, I'd love to stop by again to drop off some information, like to meet your husband. Is this Saturday? And I'll read that. You know, man, well, no, that's okay. You know what she's telling me then? Really, she's not really interested right now. But listen, that's not going to discourage me. You know why? Because we're going to knock on her door again. So I'm not discouraged about that. And maybe right now all I'm doing is planting the seed. And I'm okay with that. And so you want to kind of plant something. You want to see if they're willing to maybe make a commitment, or maybe that you can come by and revisit them. But just ask that. That helps you to begin that process of follow through. Number four, make arrangements to meet them at the services. It doesn't matter how big your church is. Listen, to a new person walking in, they're terrified. Yeah, we only have 100 people. They're still terrified. They've never been there. They're unsure of the surroundings. And so tell them, help them to eliminate some of those fears. And some of our people are in here. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard this. Well, you know, I've been driving by your church for a couple of weeks. I just, was so overwhelmed by how big it is. We fear we'd get lost going in there. And then you just kind of help them to remove some of those fears by saying, hey, this is where I'll meet you. This is where I'll be at. And here's my card. And tell people that I came by, and they'll direct you to where I'm at, and kind of eliminate some of those question marks in their heart and their mind. Number five there, send them a note thanking them for their time. Take a moment, sure. And sometimes it might be just a note, hey, I just want you to know that it was a joy meeting you. If I ever could be a help to you and your family, please call. Just send them a note. Number six, follow up before Sunday with a phone call or another visit. Number seven, invite them out to lunch. Hey, we'd love for you to come over, have lunch with us. I used to work at UPS. I worked there when I was in high school. And my daughter was the receptionist for the college a couple years ago and 2 years ago. And I met our UPS man, the guy that was coming and delivering. I said, hey, I used to work for UPS. I said, I still got brown blood in me. And he said, oh, yeah, so do I. And so we talked about, working at UPS. And I said, hey, listen, I said, we'd love for you to come visit. He said, we thought about coming to this church. He said, I'm a Christian. I've been saved. Got saved a long time ago. I said, well, listen, why don't you guys come? And I said, we'd love to have you and your wife come over to our house for lunch. We've kind of, met him, just by, him dropping off packages here. And so we had them to come over to our house and had lunch with us and started talking around the table and kind of asked his wife. I said, Jennifer, have you ever been saved? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? And she said, no, I'm not sure about that. And I said, well, my wife would love to talk to you and share that with you. And so they went off into the living room, and we sat at the table, and my wife led her to the Lord. Amen. Listen, invite people in. Reach out to people. Let them come into your home. Invite them over for lunch, or go out to lunch with them. Number eight, continue to cultivate a genuine relationship with them. Involve others in reaching out to them. Brother Slade's one of our officers here, and we have several in our class, and we work a lot of our soul winning through our classes and stuff. And if I meet an officer, guaranteed, I'm going to bring another officer with me in the next visit. The reason why, there's a connection there. A cop with a cop. I bring the donuts and coffee, and they're fine. No. But there's a connection there. I want to involve others to reach out with me. Number 10 is this. Make prayer a vital part of the follow-up process. Make prayer a vital part of the follow-up process. Number 3, to be fruitful, We must be faithful. Here it is, faithful to go out and find new prospects. Faithful to follow up on the existing prospects. You know, if we're not being faithful on the ones that God's already placed in our lap, honestly, let's be honest. Why would He bring more into our laps? Let's be good stewards of it. Number three, they're faithful in follow-up till they have been saved, baptized, and become faithful members and part of an adult class. Faithful to labor in prayer over the people that God has entrusted you with. Number four, let's kind of plow through this real quick, okay? So you have all the blanks filled in and you feel real good about yourself, all right? Number six, our accountability. Everyone should be accountable for the people that you're working on. Hold yourself accountable. Be accountable to God. You know, communicate your updates. Let people know how you're doing on your follow-up. Talk to people. Say, hey, these are people I'm working on. You know, Pastor talked about in his first session this morning about a sweetheart list. A sweetheart list needs to be worked weekly. What is a sweetheart list? A sweetheart list of names of people that you're ministering to on purpose. The purpose of salvation, baptism, church membership. There's people that were on my list for a long time. There's a CHP officer, so you know Jason Peavy. Just him and his wife just got baptized 2 weeks ago. You know how long they've been on my list? I almost hate to say this. 4 years. 4 years. Just not, you know, of course, 4 years, I'm not going to visit them every single week. And I'm not going to call them every week. And so some of the outreach to them was sporadic through those years. But Jason would come at certain times and just there was a part of him that in his own heart just didn't think there was a need yet. And recently, just circumstances in his life that he realized, you know what, I need to get serious about this. And 2 weeks ago, him and his wife and her sister got baptized. Amen. And folks, listen, they're not all like that. Mr. Slade, I think you got saved in the service, but I remember sitting in your living room talking to you. I think you had a Denver Broncos hat or jersey on. And I'm thinking, I don't even think this guy is even a candidate for salvation. I remember that. Over on the west side of town. Let's just be willing to throw yourself in people's lives. But look at it. So what does this person need to do? And how can I help them take that next step? Okay, what do we do with it? We look at it daily. Look at that list of names. Pray over those names. Let me ask you, what lost people right now are you praying for? Who are you praying over? Who's on your list? You know, if you say, well, wow, I don't really have anybody. All I'm saying, maybe that's why we're not seeing more fruit. But begin having a list and start praying over it. And let her see there. Contact those people weekly through visits and calls and letters and even email. I kind of put those in an order, I think, of their importance. I think a personal visit is the most important. Second of all, I think a phone call, a letter, and then email. But reach out to people. Now, of course, you know, through long periods of times when you're reaching people, you know, reaching out to people for a longer period of time, you know, you may give them space and allow them to breathe a little bit and let them maybe feel your absence. And then you might stop by maybe 3 months later and say, hey, just want you to know I hadn't forgotten about you. It's like, whoa. Number five, our assimilation. Every person needs to own the assimilation process. In other words, we want people to kind of go through the process of being really connected to the church family. Once a person joins the church, there's a great need for assimilating them into adult Bible class. Then there's a care group. Then there's discipleship. And then there's ministry. Why are we saying all that? Because we want fruit that remains. You know, a lot of times we think, wow, woo! Praise God! They got saved! May I say this? Your work just began. It's like when someone gives birth to a child. I know this may shock you, but I'm a grandfather. Yes, I am. And it's amazing when our daughter gave birth to our granddaughter, little Abby. You know, I just saw the expression on her face like, whoa, man. My wife calls it entering into the jaws of death. And I said this, I said, honey, your work is not over. It's just starting. And you want to know something? Next time you lead somebody to Christ, have that same attitude. Lord, my work is just starting. It's just beginning right now. And finally, our assessment. We need to evaluate our progress weekly. We need to make adjustments along the way. And number three, we must keep the main thing. And that is reaching people. Man, I don't know about you, but seeing people saved, making decisions, and following the Lord, growing, it's nothing like it. To think that we're a part of seeing people come to Christ. Don't ever get over that. Relive your own salvation experience.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.